From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The 110th Congress officially took office yesterday, and it was a day of firsts. Nancy Pelosi became the first female Speaker of the House. Democrats have control for the first time in 12 years, and African Americans have more leading congressional positions than ever before. In addition, some African Americans broke racial barriers in state office positions. Nancy Pelosi said it all in her remarks yesterday to the Congressional Black Caucus.
The Democrats are back, and the CBC is in the lead. In the lead.
So what's ahead for this new class of leaders? Joining me from our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C., are Donna Brazile, former campaign manager for Democratic presidential nominee Al Gore in 2000. She now runs her own political consulting firm in Washington. Plus Robert Trainum, a political strategist in Washington. Welcome.
Hi, Farai.
Hello.
How y'all doing?
We're great. Thank you.
Yeah, lots of excitement in your town.
Indeed. Happy New Year.
Yes.
Thank you.
Happy New Year to you guys, too. Well, we have to go there. Michael Eric Dyson at the CBC inaugural ceremony, he did this whole routine that was more reminiscent of a roast than a swear-in. Let's take a listen.
It was Kenneth Edmonds, better known as Babyface, who said he had whip appeal. But that whip appeal compares nothing to this man's whip appeal. James E. Clyburn is the whip. She may be the only member here today who has a biblical verse named after her. Let justice roll down like Maxine Waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Congresswoman Maxine Waters. The people who have spoke against him couldn't prevail against the people who spoke for him. So he's here. I think it was the philosopher Sean Carter. Who said, dang no, mans, I'm just trying to do me. If the record's 2 mil, I'm trying to move 3. Representative William Jefferson.
Applause, applause. All right, what do you think, Donna? I mean, you know, it's like this definitely was like it was like the Essence Awards or the NAACP Image Awards for Black politicians.
Well, you know, for the first time in our history, African-American leaders have real political power that they can use to help better African-Americans and all Americans. I mean, look, Charlie Rangel, Ways and Means, that's the tax writing committee. That's the committee that oversees all of our retirement security issues, Medicare, Social Security. John Conyers, overseeing everything from immigration to criminal justice reform. Benny Thompson, Homeland Security. I mean, should I say more? Yes. Stephanie Tubbs-Jones will now be in charge of enforcing the ethics rules on Capitol Hill. And Juanita Milliner-McDonnell will oversee election reform as the chair of the House Administration Committee. So we have real political power. We're not just sitting in the room on the sidelines. We're at the table, and we can help shape the future of this country.
Robert, I'm only a little worried in the sense that there was that year of the woman that lasted for about a year, and then women were not really taken that seriously. Are we at all concerned about, okay, this is the year of the black folks, and then next year it won't be?
Well, we should be. I mean, look, I mean, Donna's absolutely correct. I mean, this is an opportunity for black leaders to help black people. And let's just see exactly what's going to become of that. I mean, really, the proof is in the pudding. You know, Congressman Boehner from Ohio said it best yesterday when he was introducing Speaker-elect and now Speaker Pelosi. He said, and I quote, "A congressional majority is simply a means to an end. The value of a majority lies not in the chance to wield great power, but in the chance to do great things." And this is the opportunity for Democrats to stop talking the talk, but actually do the walk. And what that means is it's not just simply, you know, bashing the Republicans or bashing the Bush administration, but actually do something and actually produce. And, you know, Congresswoman Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi said that in the first 100 hours, they're going to push through health care. They're going to try to strengthen Homeland Security. They're going to try to strengthen education. They're going to try to do something on energy proposal and pay as you go. We'll see. I mean, they literally have a honeymoon now, and we'll actually see exactly if they're going to be able to produce something. The Senate, frankly, in my opinion, is really where the power really lies in terms of the 51 to 49 slim majority that the Democrats have. And keep in mind, in the Senate, you need 60 votes really to do anything in the United States Senate to pass key pieces of legislation. And Senator Reid, the new majority leader in the Senate, is going to have a very, very hard time trying to lead his Democratic caucus. Why? Well, the simple reason why is simply because, number one, you got a lot of Democrats that are running for president. But also, number two, you also have, which what I mean by that is that you also have an attendance problem, but you also have a lot of Democrats, frankly, that are going to stake their own ground that not necessarily might not be the Democratic line. But secondly, and arguably more importantly, Senator Reid has a very moderate caucus. I mean, when you take a look at Mr. Tester from Montana, when you take a look at Mr. Casey from Pennsylvania, when you take a look at Mr. Lieberman from Connecticut, there are a lot of Democrats that are moderate and that, frankly, are not going to swallow the Democratic pill.
All right. Well, I want to go to you, Donna, about the CBC, the Congressional Black Caucus. Question is, what is the Congressional Black Caucus's agenda? Let's take a listen to Carolyn Kilpatrick, who is the new head of the CBC.
Today is an awesome day. It's the first day of the rest of our lives. I want to thank my colleagues, all 43 strong, for standing, for entrusting me with the responsibility to lead. And I pledge to you, I will never let you down.
The question is, what can the CBC do? There's, you know, civil rights groups like the NAACP. There are different grassroots movements dealing with everything from juvenile incarceration to jobs. But what is the CBC's role as a whole?
I think the CBC will play a very influential role in helping to set the agenda. First of all, the Democrats, be they conservative, moderate, liberal, they all agree that in the first 100 hours we must enact the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission. That vote will take place on January 9th. The following day, on Wednesday, January 10th, we will raise the minimum wage. Democrats have introduced this legislation to raise the federal minimum wage. The Black Caucus support this. This will benefit African Americans who are part-time workers as well as those who are working two, three jobs to make ends meet. Before the end of the first week of the 110th session, we will also pass legislation on stem cell research and negotiate for lower prescription drug prices. So the Congressional Black Caucus will assist the Democrats in passing this agenda, implementing this agenda, and ensuring that those issues that are near and dear to the Congressional Black Caucus, be they on criminal justice reform, on jobs, education, the CBC is now in a position to help shape public policy.
Robert, there was a definite chill when Nancy Pelosi kind of dealt with William Jefferson over ethics issues, although she gave Murtha a hall pass, another congressman. But let's listen to Nancy Pelosi talking about ethics.
Let us join together in the first 100 hours to make this the Congress, the most honest and open Congress in history. 100 hours.
Robert, is there a double standard when it comes to how Nancy Pelosi, newly head of the Democrats in the House, is dealing with ethics according to different members in the House?
I believe so. I mean, look, there's no question about it that Speaker Pelosi certainly gave Mr. Jefferson the cold shoulder. But look, I mean, the fact of the matter is that $90,000 was found in his freezer. There's no question about it.
I want that.
Tax or after taxes?
No, you do
taxes.
Not want
you're
that.
Right. I don't.
But nevertheless, there is a double standard with Speaker Pelosi in that regard. And certainly the Congressional Black Caucus was very upset with Speaker Pelosi, how she handled that and how she is handling that. But the fact of the matter is that there is a double standard. But what I find very, very interesting here is that in the first, I guess, 5 hours of Speaker Pelosi's speakership, ethics reform was passed almost unanimously in the United States House, which is very, very interesting. It's going to be even more transparent. And what's also even more interesting about this is that when Republicans were in control just a few months ago, we tried to pass a comprehensive ethics reform package, and Speaker Pelosi said no. So there is a simple of a double standard. But the fact of the matter is that now she has the lead, and frankly, all eyes and the spotlight is going to be on her and on Congressman Jefferson.
Donna, how is Speaker Pelosi going to deal with the issue of the war? You have people who are on the left of the party, a couple of Californians, including Congresswoman Barbara Lee and Lynn Woolsey, who have been constantly advocating to get out of Iraq entirely. You have some very moderate centrist and even sort of right-leaning Democrats. I mean, certainly Joe Lieberman in the Senate, I don't know if he really counts as a Democrat anymore, but for what it's worth, he has been supportive of the war. How is the House Speaker going to deal with the divisions within the Democratic Party over the war?
You know, I don't think there are many divisions anymore. Look, we have Dennis Kucinich, who's now running for president, the congressman from Ohio, the former mayor of Cleveland. He supports withdrawing resources for troops. We do not support that as a party. We also know that there are Democrats as well as Republicans. There's a bipartisan consensus being formed now to begin to withdraw troops. Leading Republicans like Norm Coleman of Minnesota and Gordon Smith of Oregon have also spoken out against any escalation or surge. So I think Pelosi will help keep the Democratic caucus unified. In her remarks yesterday, she said the American people rejected an open-ended obligation to a war without the end. She said President Bush will address the nation on the subject of Iraq. It's his responsibility to articulate a new plan for Iraq that makes it clear to the Iraqis that they must defend their own streets and their security, a plan that promotes stability in the region and allow us to responsibly redeploy American forces. That's our position. That's our position. And Democrats will not alter this position. We're waiting for the president to address the nation, and we will hold oversight hearings to ensure that his plan is a plan for victory and a plan to bring our troops home.
Well, with all due respect,
we're going to have to leave it there. I'm sorry. Unless you can give us 10 seconds, Robert.
I'll just say Clinton, Obama, Biden, and Edwards. They're all running for president, and they all have very different positions. So what Donna said was slightly disingenuous because they all had different positions on the war in Iraq.
It doesn't matter what their position is.
All right, guys. It's a wrap. We're going to be back with you guys soon. Robert, Donna, thank you very much. And Donna Brazile is the former campaign manager for Democratic presidential nominee Al Gore in 2000. She runs her own political consulting firm in Washington, and Robert Trainum is a political strategist also in D.C. Just ahead is New Orleans botching its rebuild and a look back on the college football season in our sports segment.